Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is, as I always say, also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, as well as 1798part2.org, as well as republicreview.org. You are listening to the only show that will provide you the context of what it takes to get the federal government into compliance. Remember, the majority of all of the problems, the majority of all of the tyranny that we are suffering under all have to do with non-compliance to the Constitution. So, the only process in getting and obtaining compliance is not an Article 5 convention. It's not some amendment to the Constitution. The only process in getting compliance to the Constitution is, and let me be very clear, it is auditing the Constitution. And it is being audited by the states in what we call Republic Review. So get smart on this. I want you to get this because we don't have a lot of time. This is really critical. All the framers considered the Constitution a contract or a compact, which clearly identifies, and all the documents point to the fact that this thing, even the Constitution points to the fact that it is a contract. It is a contract for written form by the states. And so let me just kind of plunge forward because I'm not going to get into a long diatribe on this. What you need to do is you need to watch that presentation on reclaimingtherepublic.org, the Take Action page. Just go down a little bit underneath the slides of presentation 1 and 2 that I provide. Just click on that link. Just watch the first 30 minutes. That will give you the bedrock and understanding of what needs to be done. And we can move on from there. I wanted to get into today, because I've talked about this before, politics is in everything. Most people think politics is about Republicans and Democrats or the government or the Constitution. And Democrats and Republicans, yeah, but not the Constitution, not government. If government is in compliance to the Constitution, there's no politics involved. They're just doing what they are supposed to be doing. And if we want to change that, there's a process of doing that. That is not politics. That's governance. That is civics. That is completely a different topic. But I am telling you that politics is in everything. So when people say, well, we don't want to talk politics, they really don't understand what politics is. And so I'm going to dive into that because they talk politics at every job that I know of, because there's always opposing ideas in every aspect, every discipline of work and what have you. I did do the research. I'm going to pull up the numbers for you so that you can kind of see the differences between the states and where the militia was really focused on and where it wasn't. But I want to get into this concept of militia and its importance in the Republic, and also kind of balance that with the concept of martial law, because martial law and the militia go hand in hand. And I'll give you that. And I've read one of those citations to you, at least one or two before, but we'll get into that. Like I said, down the road, I think it's like 20 some odd pages of extracts that I've pulled out just on the militia alone. And there's some really, really awesome debates between the Virginia Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, as well as in North Carolina, Massachusetts, and so forth, Pennsylvania as well. Anyway, as I always do, there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Which, what does that mean? That means we have to do it. If there is going to be a change in protecting our liberty and our sovereignty and our Constitution and our republic, we have to do it. The federal government, in all likelihood, I mean, it's a pipe dream believing, but I think we ought to barrage President Trump. At least he starts getting it and understand. I used to barrage Bill O'Reilly regarding the constitutionality of things. And I could tell I was getting to him because he actually had to bring in people and talk about the constitutionality of issues. And unfortunately, Bill O'Reilly would always grab the wrong people, people who do not understand the Constitution. I was really surprised the one time he grabbed Judge Napolitano, and I was really surprised at Napolitano's response, because Napolitano's response was not like his old TV, you know, Freedom Watch and so forth. It was the good, well-behaved judge that the federal government can do anything that they want to and so forth. And I was going, I was absolutely shocked. But the bottom line is, regardless if anybody wants to contrary the ratification debates, the ratification debates stand as the absolute truth of what is that Constitution until there is an amendment. You want to say contrary, then you are literally either just lying or you are, you know, in violent opposition to what the truth is, because the truth is in the ratification debates, period. And so I could easily spend a lot of time on distractions and so forth. And I deal with people all the time that are literally immersed in the distractions. And all of these people are good people. They all want, you know, the good, you know, something good. But they're not focused on all of the. So what happens is I've got all of these different entities and organizations that are out fighting the beast on one myopic issue, whether that be the family, abortion. I mean, a lot of overlapping things here, as well as some movements like I support the rescinding of the 17th Amendment. I support the ratification of the real First Amendment, what they call the First Right. I support those things. But when we focus on just that, we will fail. The folks in the leadership in these other organizations, if they are not actually trying to educate people that we have to get compliance to the Constitution first, then they're only self-serving themselves, because they're just trying to bring in money to support their one thing. And I am telling you that they may find a point where they might have a level of success, that they have the money coming into their organization to be able to do everything that they want to do. But by the time they get close to winning, by the time they get close to actually getting their objective, this country will be over. We do not have the time. We're talking just a few years. As a matter of fact, I've been talking to people that think that maybe this is the year. This is the year where they do a power play. And I'm going, because the Financial Times is kind of indicating that. But again, let's not focus on these distractions. Oh, we got to audit the Fed. No, we don't. The Fed is illegitimate, and there's no point in creating legitimacy by auditing it. What we need to do is we need to audit the Constitution. Now, I'm not going to go through my diatribe on getting President Trump to start signing away, but I hope you keep sending messages to the White House telling him to start using his executive orders to get rid of unconstitutional powers such as the EPA, such as HUD, such as Health and Human Services. Literally gut those things and watch the Democrats actually. I think many of them may have massive coronaries or complete breakdowns, may need counseling because of what Trump is doing. So because we've got a 3-week supposedly reprieve, I know lots of people that are becoming, they're starting to wake up and realize that Trump isn't this really anti-government guy. But that is what it is for right now, and I do want to get back into the Trump campaign promises. It looks like the State of the Union is moving forward, but I think it's really important that we talk about politics, but we're going to talk about politics in a different paradigm, especially because it can relate to different environments. We can go through any professional sports, but let's talk about football. How is it that politics is entrenched in football? And there are different aspects of politics. You got to understand that when you have a body of people, the body of people think differently. And in doing so, they start aligning together and they start coalescing. They start building a coalition. They start building a faction. That's a better word for it than a coalition, a faction where we believe in this. And so politics is really just factions, because if everybody completely agreed on everything, then there really wouldn't be any politics, because it would be the academic thing. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And to be honest with you, that is the utopia for the communists and the secular progressives who want to enslave everybody because they want everybody to think a certain way. And they're doggone, there's no way they're going to ever think anything other than their way. So they got to get you on board. And that's why in the scale of liberty, on the other side, the liberty folks say, well, that's okay. Well, you can have a different opinion. That's life. But no, on their side, they're hardwired. They demand that you think their way or they have to get rid of you. It is that binary for them. You're either on their side or they've got to get rid of you, period. And so in football, let's talk. Now, let's see here. How can we get into politics? What are some of the opposing concepts within football that could actually cause what I would say inner conflicts within the organization, within the fandom, and those types of things? And so anything outside, and when I say anything outside, I mean anything outside the foray of government. In other words, it doesn't have to relate to politics in itself. So we're going to talk about, let's just say, safety when we come back and see how safety has politics written all over it. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so we're going to get into football politics, or the political natures within football. So all you have to do, again, is find opposing views either within the leadership, within the players, within the fandom. And there will always be differing views of how to get things done, how to play, and so forth. And voila! In looking at these views, you instantly start seeing the politics. So let's talk safety. there are those who are lovers of the, you know, the real essence of football. Football is a violent sport. It's just like boxing. And we're getting to a point where safety is becoming an overpowering change or an overpowering force within politics, or I should say within the football, which is creating a polarizing politics. There are those who love, you know, the hard hitting, let these guys play full speed and what have you. If a guy chooses to use his noggin as a weapon, there are consequences to that. The fact is that those are literally choices of how they want to play. And so I'm taking one side here, and that is the raw side of the politically raw side of football. And so these guys that want to lead with their head and hit with their head and so forth, let them do it. If they happen to become a vegetable, you know, later on in life, because that's the type of choices that they wanted to make, then okay, those are your consequences. It's the same thing with going into sexuality, the politics in sexuality. You'd make a choice of saying, I want to have, you know, I want to orientate myself to never have children because I want to be involved in a sexual orientation that does not lend me to that. Then there are the consequences with that. Accept, grow up and accept the consequences. Now, there are the other people on the opposing side that say, huh, well, we don't want football to allow, you know, people to become vegetables because then they become a drain on society. Well, hold on. They only become a drain on society because usually these same people that want to provide safety nets and everything else want to be able to provide the, you know, the entitlements of healthcare and so forth. But let's take that out of the picture and let's just focus on the safety side. We want, you know, kids and we want, you know, these young men and these adults to play safely so that they do not become vegetated. So they don't actually, you know, have all of these traumas and problems and so forth. And you know, there's the NFL athlete that deliberately shot themselves right in the heart because they wanted to make sure that somebody looked at, you know, their brains because they believe that they damaged their brains. And I find it all interesting, but it's not like the NFL damaged his brain or these individuals. These individuals made conscious decisions in putting their brains on the line like that. There is no doubt in my mind that you can live a, you know, good, clean life in football if you don't use your head as a weapon. Yeah, what are we supposed to make? You can't make a helmet that is that perfect to where you can use that for spearing and so forth. Guys know that if you really want to punish somebody, spear them. Use that helmet, put it down, and, I mean, you can break legs. You can really hurt somebody. And that's why they choose to do that, to knock that guy out of play. Okay, well, there's consequences to that. Are you willing to live with that? And apparently, there are people that are now coming out and saying, oh, well, I didn't know, or, you know, it's really, really, you think you can get away with, you know, using your head and going through concussions and so forth, and there's no consequences to it? Maybe you should have been a little bit more diligent. It's just like, you know, you have a, you're told that there's a good high likelihood in your family, like an 80% likelihood that you're going to get cancer. Well, you don't have cancer yet. So why read about it, right? Why not wait and find out about it once you get it, right? No, that's stupid. What you do is you start reading up on the cancers, what kind of foods, you know, would help, you know, keep you from going down that path, what type of living. I mean, the smart person gets smart in what they're involving. And if there's a likelihood in football, and if this is something, you got to remember, there's a rule out there, right? It's called results take time to measure. This is a scientific fundamental rule that you just can't make an assessment on the first time something occurs. The first time somebody ever smoked tobacco for the first time, did we know that it was going to cause all these health adversities? Well, we kind of could, you know, jump to some conclusions, but it takes time to truly measure all the results, to understand all of the ramifications of just smoking tobacco. Same thing with drinking alcohol. Same thing with consuming aspirin on a daily basis. Whatever it is that, you know, we're starting to introduce, just like asbestos. You know, nobody knew that asbestos was going to wreak havoc on, you know, people, melanoma and all of the, actually, I don't think it's melanoma, but anyway, nobody knows the consequences. Like DuPont did not understand the consequences, you know, because it takes time to measure the results. And I find it immoral to go after people unless you have pure evidence that we know this is going to damage people, but we don't care. We want people to have this. You know, when you have that kind of reckless attitude, okay, and you've got the evidence and documentation, then go after them. You know, make them pay for the consequences, but make them pay the people, not the government. Because just like with the tobacco industry, the government had a windfall of billions of dollars. And where did that go? Yeah, it didn't really go out to the people. And it didn't go to an education program. And next thing you know, we've still got tobacco. We've still, I mean, people inhaling crap in their lungs, which we know isn't good, right? I mean, if it's not oxygen, then you better question what the heck you're inhaling. But the point is that we have scientific processes that it takes time to start realizing the ramifications of one's actions. So let's talk about these concussions versus the risks of the game. Is being safe or playing the raw physicality that created the game better? I myself kind of prefer the raw physicality. I, you know, want these guys to be safe, but hey, if you're going to use your noggin as a weapon, then, you know, you better have, you know, a plan or at least insure yourself or something. But I know this, that in today's world, masculinity is being targeted by even corporations like Gillette. And we're being targeted by misandrists, people who hate the male, the persona of a male, anything that is male. They want to feminize all men. These people hate and despise men. And that is what's been happening to football, as they've basically started putting dresses on quarterbacks and treating everybody like babies. But what else can we talk about regarding politics? Is it just football? Can I only come up with that? Well, yeah, there are rules in football that people like to get into, or we could even get into the ownerships. There's every facet of politics that one can get into. The ownership of a business, the ownership of, you know, it doesn't have to be just football. We can talk about anything. I think, and on my opinion, I'll just give you this. I really do not like the way the ownership of the NFL has occurred, because it has to be by a very wealthy person. I love what Green Bay has done, and Green Bay has had a pretty successful franchise, and it is owned by the people. I'd like to see other organizations, like down in San Diego. The San Diego should have got a consortium of very well-to-do people and bought out Soros just to keep the San Diego Chargers there, to say, you know what, we want to be able to, you know, keep the San Diego Chargers here. And now they're the LA Chargers. They should have been stripped of the name, period. But anyway, I would like to see all of the teams bought out by a consortium of people instead of allowing a single rich person, because then you have more of a desire to try to build a more, I would say, a symbiotic relationship between the people and the community, the fans and the community, community businesses and so forth. I think that when you have a single person, it becomes about them and the money that they're making instead of an organization. I think organizations would probably do better as having a team of owners for your particular team, and they would be able to not be such a burden to the community and the people. But getting into politics, we can get into politics on plumbing or on construction, building, or what have you. In these particular trades, there is always the old guard in the old ways of doing things. And I'll give you an example. In plumbing, you know, the old guard, copper. Got to use copper. That's the only way. Or when it comes to building, well, you got to use a hammer. You do it by hand instead of using guns. And then there's those that, you know, that want to use the newfangled technology and, you know, techniques and equipment and tools and so forth. There are also suppliers. how you're receiving your materials, whether you want to align with this guy for kickbacks or what have you. There's just politics in every aspect of business, or even the types of employees and their skills. Do you want a specific type of demographic in the employees? Do you want them to have a certain type of focus on skills? It's the same thing with politics and cooking. Is there politics in cooking? You betcha. You can start going down the path of vegan to natural to green to healthy, and to the types of tools and fuels that you would use in cooking. Some, you know, there are some clearly superior ways and methodologies, but there is and will be something else, another factor in that. And because I'm at a hard break, I'm going to have to get to that other factor. I'm going to also tell you, we did some things, so my responsiveness to the music and so forth, you probably notice it isn't as keen as it used to be, and I'll be telling you all about that when we come right back. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Yeah, and so there are all sorts of ways one can delve into politics. And like I was saying before we went into the break, first off, my responsiveness, we did a little bit of a reorg of the studio, getting ready to integrate another system so that we could accommodate, you know, some more dynamic interfacing and so forth. But so by doing that, I changed, responses from mixers from one side to the other. So, you know, just going to have to get used to some of these changes. But anyway, just getting into in one little facet of cooking, and baking is the same way. Where is the politics in cooking? Well, let's talk about barbecuing. There is politics in barbecuing. There are people who love to use fire with wood. There are those who like the briquettes and the smoke, and or using a combination, or even just gas and using a direct fuel like that. And there are reasons why, you know, one would be good in one application and another, but there's politics into where, you know, I know purists, oh, you know, if it's not a charcoal briquette, then that you're not barbecuing.
you know, and I go, well, what about just using fire? Well, you know, fire is, you know, has a completely different approach, you know, heat and all of that. And I'm going, huh. And so there is politics. And as a matter of fact, another category that you can find is steeped heavily with politics in every aspect is music. It's a huge portal for politics, just using music for political purposes. In other words, ideological purposes of, you know, politics of subjugation, socialism, and so forth. I mean, look at Bruce Springsteen. I mean, he's a huge socialist. I mean, he loves big government, and he that's why he was a huge supporter and will always support the secular progressives. And then you have others that are, you know, far less supportive. I would give you Rush. Rush is a small government, an Ayn Rand type of, you know, person, more libertarian or what have you. So they are actually portals in the world of politics, the ideological politics, but they also have internal politics within the genre itself. There's the genres, there's the, you know, like folk music, country music, those types of things where people, you know, prefer this over that, or they, you know, there's the politics of how things are to be orchestrated, how things are to be designed or to be done from instruments and voices and so on. So whenever one is walking into an environment, regardless if it's music, regardless if it's at work, engineering, or what have you, if the environment has standards and subjectivity, then one is walking into a potential battlefield of politics. And I'm telling you, there's even in the process, when a company has a process of promotions and how to do those things, in the processes, you will find politics, because people will be stabbing other people in the back so that they can leap ahead and get an earlier promotion than the guys already up in line for the next promotion. I mean, that happens all the time. I know that it happens to you. And so when somebody tells you, we're not going to talk politics, I think that they're probably lending to a little bit of ignorance of what politics is. I think people don't fathom just how far, how deep, and how wide politics really is, because it is not about, you know, Democrats or the nature of government. It is about people with opposing ideas, changes to standards, and so forth, and the subjectivity behind all of it, that is politics. Politics in how to raise your children. And the whole point of being in, being able to, one, fathom what I'm talking about, and two, being able to build upon it, is learning how to find common ground so that you can move forward together in the political spectrum. If you are not, then you will be having problems. So, you know, compromise is very, very big. Compromise is probably the backbone of politics. Unfortunately, when it comes to compromise, it seems like in our real government and politics, it seems like the Republican Party has been the welcome mat for compromise. I've yet to see the secular progressives, like I've said, they have never compromised on restoring good policies that we should have never abandoned, like prayer in school, such as having the Bible available and actually, you know, taught. I think Trump even mentioned he wants to see biblical literacy back in America to at least start bringing back a good moral nation. Those types of things, the progressives have been very successful in gaining ground, and we have never got them to come back to the table because they don't have to. Everything is always against the, you know, the conservative, the constitutional, the legal way. What they want to do is, you know, slowly and slowly migrate us towards communism and socialism. And so now, let me get into some of the hottest things. And I'm going to call this a marketing day, because I use news as a marketing tool. Why? Because what is the one thing that I try to remind you all the time on, you know, as I'm telling you the news and so forth, I always usually say, what is it going to take? right? Is it not bad enough for you to actually say, you know what, that's it, I'm getting involved? So let's get into what I call the marketing of the day. And if you haven't heard, it's actually come out that illegal voting and voter fraud has been identified as a rampant problem throughout the United States. And even Texas is feeling the burn to something like almost 60,000 known so far. And I don't know if they've done a full audit. I think every state needs to do a full audit of their election and registered voters. How else do you think the blue wave even occurred in November? Yes, there was a blue wave. The Democrats gained like 600 seats in the state legislature, in the state legislative offices, almost 700 seats. So it's about 300 and some odd seats that they gained. But they actually, because there was such a big gap, they've gained ground to where there's literally only like over 100 seats of an advantage for the red. In other words, the Republic has slid towards blue, and that's not a good thing. And voter fraud is the bedrock of the progressives in taking control. As long as they get you to believe that they've legitimately won, they are going to run and run and run all over us. And if you haven't been watching the politics that's going on within your state legislatures, you'll be appalled to find all of the progressive bills and progressive agendas that are being rammed down their throat. If you don't want to start getting ready, then you better start packing bags and get your reloader and get plenty of ammo and so forth to defend yourself, because it's either we take a fight now in the world of politics, in the party system, and take a stand, or I'll just say it, all's going to be lost, and everything, you know, your survival will be dependent upon how long you can keep the evil hordes off, because they're going to come with a level of technology and weaponry and so forth that they're just going to run rickshaw over most all of these political entities or these militias and so forth. I'm just here to tell you, I don't know very many militias that have, you know, surface-to-air missiles and all sorts of good defensive tools that they should have. Yeah, they should have surface-to-air missiles. They should have what it takes to oppose a tyrannical government. But because they've changed the paradigm on what the Second Amendment means, it's just hunting rifles? No. The whole intent, and we can get into that too in the ratification debates, it was very clear that the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms had everything to do with opposing tyrannical governments. It had nothing to do with hunting. So anyway, let me give you a flip side of this whole, you know, caravan. Oh, I didn't even tell you about the caravan. So the numbers that are coming up now, it seems like the latest count is there's about 12,000 lawbreakers that want to invade our republic in this caravan coming through Mexico. And on the flip side, this is even the better part. This is what I wanted to jump to. Brokaw has apologized for making a comment that Hispanic immigrants need to try harder to assimilate and speak English and so forth. He's apologizing for saying that if you come to this country, you need to assimilate. Oh, that's intolerant. And how dare he do that? How dare he do that? I just can't fathom how any good American would think that it is good for America to allow people to come here and not assimilate and actually become divisive, because that's the only reason why you would assimilate and not become a part of America. I mean, if we're going to be a melting pot, that means that you have to dip into the melting pot and melt yourself. And if you're coming in and you're not going into the pot, then you need to get out of here, because this is a melting pot. And I think that every progressive would agree on that, because that's kind of their fundamental argument. But on the backside, they say, well, yeah, this is a melting pot, but we don't want these people to melt. Because as long as these people don't melt, then they have control over them, because these people are being held to, and it's just like in the news with the Trump employees that were fired from his golf courses, what have you. I mean, that is all hyperbole, because bottom line, if you find out that somebody was hired that is an illegal alien, then you need to fire them. And so, period. That is the law. You have to follow the law, and I think that they did the right thing. don't know, and I don't care. You know, even if you're coming late to the game, you're finally doing the right thing. Let's move forward because we want everybody to do the right thing. And setting the example is important. That's what Leadership 101 is. We have to set the example. So I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I want to change the topic real quick. I'm not sure if you heard how political correctness has moved through Islam or the nations of Islam, and how the United Arab Emirates has literally taken a huge step in making a commitment to female empowerment. And so apparently over the, I don't know, the past years, they've really been moving forward in ensuring that females are empowered in the workforce and workplace and so forth. And so to showcase their profound commitment to female empowerment, they had this gender equality awards just this, I think, past week or recently. And they basically, all of the awards went to nothing but men for their contributions to gender equality in the workplace. How do you like that, huh? Is that not really showing the world, you know, how well they're committed and embracing gender equality? Anyway, so long before, and I've talked about this in the news, and so it's nice to have, you know, a ability to have in America, the ability to recognize, you know, the not necessarily gender equality, but the equal opportunity for anybody of regardless of your demographics to be able to do the job as long as you're suited and fit for whatever the physical requirements. I mean, come on, if you're 4 feet tall and you may be able to dribble with the best of them, but you know, you can't play the NBA. You might be able to play in the NBA, but I really doubt it. I mean, you'd have to have such stellar skills because there's too many people that would be an umbrella over you. All they'd have to do is just literally lean over. And anyway, I digress. I wanted to get into some of the darkness of China. And, you know, he, Jiangku, was literally basically recently in the news for editing genes. He's been doing gene editing, and he's been
playing around with these newborn babies. And so even long before, this is some backstory behind this, long before the claim of the world's first gene-edited babies came public, Chinese researcher He Jianku shared the news with a U.S. Nobel laureate who objected to the experiment, yet remained an advisor to He's, H-E, apostrophe S, biotech company. Apparently, He is the name of the company. The revelation that another prominent scientist knew of the work, which was widely condemned when it was revealed, comes after scientists debate whether and how to alert troubling research and the need for clearer guidelines. And so emails obtained by the Associated Press under a public records request shows that the Nobel Prize winner Craig Mello of the University of Massachusetts learned about the pregnancy last April. From that point, He, the company, in a message titled Success, and his comments back was, "I'm glad for you, but I'd rather not be kept in the loop on this. You are risking the health of the child you are editing. I just don't see why you're doing this. I wish your patient the best of luck for a healthy pregnancy, but keep me out of the loop." And so it's almost like I see nothing. Almost like a Sergeant Schultz of Hogan's Heroes, right? Anyway, Mello stayed on as a scientific advisor. Apparently his morals, you know, he doesn't want to hear about it, but his morals weren't too offended to leaving the group. And so He's direct genomic company for more than 8 years. He's been a part of this until December, just after news of the births became public and drew international scorn. The Chinese scientist's gene editing work was not a company experiment. He tried to alter the genes of twin girls to help them resist possible future infections with HIVs, AIDS, and those types of things. And I'm going, well, why? Why would he focus on those parts of the genetics with HIV? It's almost like saying we want to edit and engineer the genetics of people so that they can have sex in any way, fashion, or form and not get sexually transmitted diseases, because obviously HIV is something that can be transmitted sexually and so forth. And so why not just, you know, go after syphilis and all the rest of them? Because this actually speaks to us. I've said this many times before. When we've got science going out and focusing their endeavors in removing the consequences of bad behavior, or what some people call sin, then science is taken on kind of a maniacal face and literally just doing the work for, you know, if you want to call it, for the bad deeds, for the evil deeds, for the devil, whatever. The bottom line is, why aren't we doing other things that would be far more beneficial in helping people instead of focusing on removing the consequences of those types of decisions? It just baffles me. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, maybe society would be, you know, better, you know, if all men had a full head of hair for their entire life. Or maybe society would be better if, you know, men and women were, you know, proportioned a certain way, or that heights were, you know, nobody would be born under a certain height or over a certain height. I'm not a proponent and advocating and a champion for editing genes. I'm just saying, why did he go down this very particular path? Why that path? Is AIDS a real problem for all kids in the future? Maybe, if kids are going to be subjected to the sex slave trade, because it seems like there's lots of people in politics that are guarding and hiding the sex slave trade. That's why, you know, the Jonah Project is, you know, a project I bring on in trying to help shine the light on the insidiousness of that. I'm having a hard time understanding how they, you know, how they're calculating what's important and what isn't important. I'm not sure if you also heard this, Larry Krasner. He is, I believe, the district attorney for Philadelphia. And as soon as he got elected, he literally started laying off prosecutors, stopped prosecuting crimes, and is reducing the sentences. In other words, you know, we may be a society of laws and we may have, you know, the rule of law, but, you know, they're going to go really light on crime. So if you're, you know, if you have a propensity, you have a trend towards wanting to commit crime, you may need to move to Philadelphia because it seems like they're enabling and empowering criminals out there. And the question is, why isn't it that people are going after this guy? Because he's clearly, you know, dereliction of duty. He has a responsibility of enforcing the laws, not actually ignoring the laws and not prosecuting crimes and so forth. If he doesn't like the crimes on the books, then there's a process of changing the laws. And so, you know, but you have to build either consensus politically to do that, or you become the king and then you can do that. But apparently this district attorney believes that he is the king and he's the one that can literally get away from this whole thing. Now, I'm going to speed through this, but I'm not sure if you heard, but there's been a lot of mainstream media folks, journalists, that have been laid off. Verizon Media cut 17% of its workforce, about 1,000 journalists from its subsidiary companies, Huffington Post, Yahoo News, and AOL. BuzzFeed has also had a mass layoff this week of about 15% of its journalists, about 250 people. The media outlets, these secular progressive propaganda machines, have experienced a decline, can you believe this, in revenue over a year, and much of it from advertising and doing what any business must do under their circumstances. So nothing from the companies themselves explain why the revenue is dropping, so we can only speculate at this time. And we believe, however, that this is partly because of growing disenchantment of leftist bias in the media, and partly because of the increasing competition from just like the giants like Google, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, but also alternative media outlets like Need to Know News and or the Judicial Watch and some of these others. And perhaps it's because of maybe Trump's tweeting, fake news, bad journalism. I mean, there's all of these different things. But here's my spin on this. Here's my editorializing. I believe that they, you know, this is an indictment of their paradigm. So why is it that they're cutting back, but they're not retooling to provide objective journalism? Because ideologically, they're wired to actually, the ends justify the means, and they're going to continue forward with being propaganda machines instead of actually becoming true objective journalists. And because of this, I assert that if you want to have a protest, and from now on, if you want to start protesting at your capital, and not the national capital, but every protest you do, you need to start including a local media within the capital itself, in addition to, or just focus on them, and take your message to the media by shutting them down and saying, why is it that you are spinning propaganda against, you know, the right to bear arms? Why is it that you're literally feeding the people with lies if you want to do Second Amendment petitions, if you want to do anti-abort? I mean, come on, folks. These are the folks that are literally controlling the narrative and the message. It's about time you start punching them back in the mouth, because they're throwing all sorts of propaganda and evil deceit down the mouths of America. Well, as you can tell, I'm out of here. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help, and we will be back. So God bless, and we'll be right back tomorrow. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.